It is indeed a Friday. It's a Friday today. He's Zoim Vry, 7th of June, 2024. And it's the end of the week, eh? Just like that, it's gone boom. All sorts of things have happened since yesterday. I'll tell you all about it. Looking forward to our conversation after the news at the top of the hour. It is a Friday, which means it's Legends Night. And you can guess, man. I'll take you to the and back. If you can give me that clue. Oh, I'm giving you the clue. You give me the answer. If I would take you to the and back, you'd be a very happy person indeed. And that's the person who is going to be our guest tonight. Haven't seen him, haven't spoken to him in many years. I don't even know what he's up to these days, but he said, you know what, he's going to make a trip. So luckily today, I mean, on what, 2 days back to back, we've got people driving all the way from Pietermaritzburg and heading down to Ethekwini Gagasini. So I look forward to that conversation, hoping that you will be looking forward to it as well. All right, we've also got top stories. Thanks to the teams at Rise FM. Thanks to the team at Vuma FM. Great, great Friday shows all round, including when you show Njengzwile, omunye ubhuti ethethisa omunye ngoba kuthiwe ufike late. Hey, ngiyabona ukuthi hayi no. Umuntu omdala cha hayi akajabulile, ukwatile, ukwatile. Hey, ngabakwatisa abantu abadala bazothukuthela into angazuyibona. Kodwa ke no, well handled, professional, straight to the point, honest. And I think that's what radio is about. It's about honesty and professionalism.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
So a Comrades Marathon novice he was back then. Mhlakwane lost out on the gold medal, lost out on that prize money in the top 10 position. And I suppose that collapse coming as it did. And his aim's now to return to the scene of the crime this weekend. Hey, he's a brave man, this one. Nkosikhona Mhlakwane is here. You're not giving up.
This is a moment that when I was training, I wanted to go back to outdo and better myself, because that moment, I know when it was happening in 2019, it brought tears to the men of the people that they were there in reality, seeing me falling down, crawling up until I crossed the finish line. Here I am today, and I'm having a second chance of my life, and I think as a person, we all deserve the second chance. So,
hashtag MSW. Top stories. Get the news before it's history in the morning.
Yeah, plenty of news stories making headlines, and it is that type of weekend, and it started during the week as well, where it's all been about the international friendlies, or it's been about the World Cup qualifiers, it's been about qualifiers. Just around the corner is the Euro 2024. So where do we even begin? But I can tell you, though, that Jack Grealish, as well as Harry Maguire, have been left out of England's final squad for the Euro 2024. Maguire misses out due to a calf injury that has kept him out of action since mid-April, while his Manchester United teammate Luke Shaw makes the cut despite not having played since February due to a hamstring problem. Now, Manchester United teenager Kobbie Mainoo, who made his international debut against Brazil in March, has also been selected, while Southgate has opted to take Ivan Toney and Ollie Watkins as the deputies to Harry Kane.
Well, as I said, all of the players took the news really respectfully. Of course, all players are going to believe they should be in, and that's why they're top players, because they have that self-belief and they have that that mindset as well. But the fact is, we've got some players who have been playing extremely well all season in the league, and we just feel other players have had stronger seasons, and particularly in the last 6 months or so. So there have been tough calls. There have been calls that we've gone over and over and over as a group of staff, to try to be fair, to try to get the right rationale, and you know, we back our decisions, but we recognise we could have gone a different route. And you know, both of the boys are big characters, fabulous teammates, great boys to work with. So yeah, sad to have to deliver that news to them. Harry has made some progress, but you know, that's been complicated, and we definitely wouldn't have had him in the group stages, and there was too many hurdles to get through without really being clear of where we might get to. So, and given that we've not got a clean bill of health across the rest of the back line as well, then that became, we need cover, we need players that are fit and ready to go from the start.
So Southgate, in answer to his critics, though, has gone with form and also made the very bold and big calls that look correct when examined in the current context as well.
Well, as I said, all of the players took the news really respectfully. Of course, all players are going to believe they should be in, and that's why they're top players, because they have that self-belief and they have that that mindset as well. The fact is, we've got some players who have been playing extremely well all season in the league, and we just feel other players have had stronger seasons, and particularly in the last 6 months or so. So there have been tough calls. There have been calls that we've gone over and over and over as a group of staff to try to be fair, to try to get the right rationale, we back our decisions, but we recognise we could have gone a different route. And both of the boys are big characters, fabulous teammates, great boys to work with. Sad to have to deliver that news to them. Harry has made some progress, but that's been complicated, and we definitely wouldn't have had him in the group stages, and there was too many hurdles to get through without really being clear of where we might get to. So, and given that we've not got a clean bill of health across the rest of the back line as well, then that became, we need cover, we need players that are fit and ready to go from the start.
Maino as well as Adam Wharton will be playing their first international, the major international tournament, with Rice clear that he's been impressed, though, by the pair of them. Midfielder Declan Rice was relishing, though, his role as one of the senior players following Gareth Southgate's England squad announcement for the Euro 2024.
Yeah, I think we see in the last camp against Belgium and Brazil what Cobby could do, and obviously the last 6 months, all season really, what he's done at Man United. Fully deserves his place in the squad. And obviously Adam played his first half of the season in the Championship, come from Crystal Palace now. It's been outstanding, and I think in training he's impressed a lot of the players. So composed and calm on the ball. He's got a beautiful left foot, really crisp passing, and all round just a really down-to-earth boy who wants to learn. He's still obviously only 20 years old, but to be on the plane to go to his first European Championships, what a moment for him and his family. And I know he's one who won't take it for granted. He'll be ready when called upon.
And also for Rice, it'll be his third international tournament following the Euro 2020 as well as the 2022 World Cup. The midfielder has enjoyed an impressive first season at Arsenal, with the Gunners pushing Manchester City to the final day in their charge for the Premier League.
Gareth will obviously always pick the other two players, and I'm sure whoever steps in will give 100%, because we've got one aim this tournament, and that is, collectively as a group to win the tournament, of course. But to come with that in midfield, such a crucial part of it, is the hard work inside of it. He can be so good on the ball, but in these major tournaments against the best sides, you need to have that, heart, grit, desire, to not want to concede goals and be savvy. And I'm looking forward to taking on that responsibility, as well as, all the other midfielders are as well.
All right, so Rice says that he felt sympathy for Jack Grealish and also James Maddison after his close friends were left out of England's squad for the Euro 2024. While Arsenal midfielder Rice, though, was certain to be included in Gareth Southgate's 26-man group, Man City winger Grealish and Tottenham playmaker Maddison didn't make the cut.
Yeah, it's been really tough. See, Maddison and Jack are probably two of my best mates in the squad. Probably spent most of my time with them since I've been here. So obviously see them go is... it's not a nice feeling. But they both just said then, before they went, Madders last night, Jack just now, that they wish us all the best. They're really positive and upbeat. Obviously, they're gutted that they've been left out of the squad. But I think that's one thing that, Gareth's got spot on, is that we're so close as a group, and there's no one that's feeling really bitter about being left out. It's more about the team, and, them guys wished us all the best, as did all the others.
All right, so back to the continent now. Nigeria's coach Fanidi George is banking on the quality of his squad to overcome South Africa in tonight's big, crucial qualifier for the 2026 FIFA World Cup at the Godswill Agbabio International Stadium in Uyo. That game kicking off at 9 p.m. In what will be his first game in charge since being announced as the head coach, Fanidi believes, though, that the players understand the message and have what it takes, though, to deliver.
We have trained so well. The players are fully prepared for this game. They know the task ahead of us. And they are good to go. So They're just waiting for tomorrow, time of kickoff, and let the game start. I think that's what we're going to do. So no doubts about the capacity of the players, and they know it's a must-win game, and then we'll approach it that way. I would say, yeah, AFCON is gone. We all saw the game. We knew it was a difficult one, but at the end of the day, we won it. You know, so that is important. This is a World Cup qualifier. I think we're going to play definitely differently in tomorrow's match. You know, so the AFCON has gone. This will be a different ball game, and tomorrow we'll see how it will all play out. You know, so I'm quite confident in our capacity and what we're going to do tomorrow. So I'm not quite worried. AFCON is gone. This is World Cup qualifier. We want to win. We want to qualify for the next World Cup. So all hands on deck, and we'll see how we can push tomorrow to get that. Personally, I don't have anything to prove in the first place. It's you guys that are hyping everything. For me, I'm quite relaxed. It's football. We know we want to win. We know what's at stake, you know. So we'll give our best and leave the rest, you know. So I believe if the boys do what we want to do tomorrow, I think victory will be ours. So I'm not quite worried, you know. So like I've said before, I'm not somebody that will be scared. I played the game. You can only get 3 results. You lose, you win, or you draw. So we are going for the victory tomorrow. So, and that's what I believe is going to happen.
Well, George also spoke about the inclusion of players from the Nigeria Premier Football League in the Super Eagles. And he says that he will keep watching the league to find players who can also add value to the team.
I think we've invited, how many players did you say? 3 players. I think that is enough for now. Yeah, the criteria is we'll keep watching the league and see those that are good enough to join us. It's a gradual process. We want to encourage the players back home as well. And but that does not mean we just have to change, you know, that structure. That is not going to be possible in my time. So don't quote me wrong. We'll definitely bring in players that are capable of playing, adding value to what we want to do. At the same time, we'll still keep the structure. And every now and then, we'll bring them. So it's not a problem.
Well, on the other side, though, Bafana Bafana's head coach, Hugo Bruce, insists, though, that pressure is on Nigeria for the anticipated 2026 World Cup qualifier. Bafana going to the third match of the qualifier, sitting third in Group C after 3 matches, which are Rwanda, Benin, and a positive result, though, at what is expected to be a hostile territory, will do their campaign a lot of good.
Yes, I think that we are ready for this game, surely, otherwise you shouldn't be here. Secondly, we all know that Nigeria is a very good team. We played against them in AFCON, but as I remember, I think that result could be the opposite from what it was. We could have been in the final, so that means that both teams are maybe even good. I know also that the pressure is a little bit on Nigeria, because they have to win the game. When you play qualifiers for World Cup of AFCON, you can't lose points at home. So the pressure is a little bit on them. At the other side, we believe in it and we have confidence. We played a very good game in March against Algeria, so that means that we can go on the level we had in AFCON. So we believe that we can make a good result. Life is never easy. So, you know, the game of AFCON is something for us. It was a very good game. We played a very good game. But the game is finished. Tomorrow it's another game. So you can just think about it and know that there are things possible. But that's it. And about Ronwen and about some injuries we have, everyone is 100% fit tomorrow, so we don't have a problem tomorrow.
Osimhen, Victor, not playing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a problem for the coach of Nigeria. That's not my problem.
Oh, man, Hugo Bruce is like, you know, Victor Osimhen not playing. Yeah, that's a problem for the Nigerian coach, not my problem. Love it, man. Bruce is fully cognizant of all the challenges that await his team as they look to stabilize the 2026 FIFA World Cup qualification journey. And he says past results, though, won't have an impact going into tonight's game.
As I said already, games who are done. So you can't say yes, but then and then. So tomorrow it's another game, it's a new game. We are confident because since AFCON, I think that everyone in South Africa is starting believing in that team because the results were so good. So we start tomorrow here in the game against Nigeria with a lot of confidence and belief. But again, it's a game of football. And you saw what happened in AFCON. I think we were as good as Nigeria that day. But yeah, penalties did decide the game. It's not possible tomorrow, or maybe it can be a penalty to decide the game. But you know what I mean. So it will be decided on 90 minutes, and I think we are able to make a good result.
Hey, the man sounded like he's in very good spirits, eh? So Bruce has also continued, though, to show faith in locally based players, and he said that they have showed that they can perform at that level.
Yes, it's true that we have a lot of local players in our team. And normally when you see, take for example Nigeria, but some other African teams, they have players who all play in competitions for a higher level. But we proved in AFCON that even with local players you can achieve a very high level. And this is the big progression that South Africa made when you compare it in the previous years. That is the big step we made with local players achieving a level that you need in those games. So for me it's not really a problem because we proved it that we can do it with local players. So again, it's up to our players, our local players, to show tomorrow against those players who play in those high level competitions that they even good. So it's a motivation.
On Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Ngosi Khona, Hlakwana, marathon runner, gold medalist. These aren't lotto numbers, but I'm going to ask you to give me a fourth number. 11, 6, 12. What's the fourth number that you'd like to see after that?
3 minus 2 is equal to 1. That's how I believe.
I gave those numbers, but I am not saying anyone must go play them in the lotto. No. Those are the numbers that our champ came previously in this ultra marathon, and he's done the maths now. He says the next number is 1, which means that he'll finish with the gold medal as the winner of the Comrades Marathon 2024.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW. Top stories. Get the news before it's history in the morning.
Oh man, oh man, oh man. The Formula One has reached a round 9 of the season. It also arrived in North America for this weekend's Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal. Now, with 3 different winners in the last 3 races, there is a real sense of excitement and anticipation at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. Now, Max Verstappen, who won the Montreal back in 2022 and 2023, is now just 31 points clear of rival Charles Leclerc, while Lando Norris lies third, a further 25 points adrift. Now, the curbs as well as the slow corners on the Canadian circuit are expected to reveal the very same weaknesses that saw Verstappen and Red Bull struggle in Monaco. Rain is also expected on all 3 days of track action, which could lead to further unpredictability. Let's hear, though, from some of the drivers.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can be pretty confident that we'll be somewhere in the mix, which is pretty exciting to say. Yeah, I don't know if we'll be the favourites, so to speak, but I don't really know who you can say are the favourites at the moment. So, yeah, excited to see where we come out. Hopefully it's better than finishing 11th. But, yeah, I think we're definitely in the mix now, and I think the last few weekends have proven that on very different.
I think, like you see, there are some great teams making a lot of progress, and we got to do the same. I think it's always great to be part of a set of regulations with a team. You know, when you change in regulations and you're part of that team, you're already working on that, giving some ideas here and there, and it's something really quite nice to have, to be able to be part of that.
Yes, yeah, the car's continuing to improve. I think that's, I think everyone's obviously taking a step, hopefully closer to the Red Bulls, and I think that's been really positive, but incredibly proud of everyone back at the factory, just how hard everyone's working and how resilient everyone is, and just everyone's just staying very focused, head down.
It's more low speed content, the circuit, which kind of I think helps and suits our car better, so that makes me a little bit more optimistic to be more competitive. So yeah,
coming into this weekend, we don't have a mega upgrade like we had last year, which would have which catapults us to points. It's just going to be a continuation from Monaco, and in some ways I think this track is quite similar to Monaco, so we should be able to carry some of that performance across, but at the same time it's been resurfaced, weather's out at play, so it's going to be quite challenging.
We are really focusing on the process, on our weaknesses, on how we can optimize every single aspect of the car, and by doing just that we will get to the point where we are in contention of a win every single weekend. But that's of course the target, because as much as it felt really good in Monaco, now we need to turn the page and look off on what's ahead. And we want to win the World Championship. That's the target. And for that, we still have to do steps forward.
All right, so Esteban Ocon made light of his ex from the Alpine and also declared that he'll be doing his best for the team again this weekend in the Canadian Grand Prix, shrugging aside the acrimony that's following his open lap crash with teammate and compatriot Pierre Gasly at the Monaco Grand Prix. Now, the Frenchman said that he had always followed team instructions and wanted to leave on a high note.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the need, you know, that it was important to speak up, you know, in that moment. And yeah, I've written obviously that statement, and it was clear that yeah, it was the right time to do so. Now, obviously, I'm not going to come back on everything that has happened in Monaco. You know, we've discussed a lot of things internally inside the team, and obviously the big news is that you know, we agreed together not to continue in 25. You know, it's been several months, you know, that we are talking with Alpine, with various other teams as well, and we felt that it was the good time, you know, for me to look elsewhere, to have some exciting challenges ahead, and I'm excited to be here in the meantime and to be, you know, racing and doing more racing than talking, hopefully.
All right, racer, don't talk, man. Hey, Marc Marquez, though, has his sights on the Ducati Livorno team. Now, the most significant Mercato move in recent years, the number 93, hashtag 93, will ride alongside Francesco Bagnaia for the Italian factory as well.
The decision was made Sunday evening in a meeting between me, Mauro, and Claudio. But we did several meetings during the last week and the last month, because, you know, it was not an easy decision, and we have to think a lot about that. We finally took this decision because, you know, we have one of the best bikes of the grid, and our target is to win the championship, and to increase the probability to do that, we need two champion on the team. The reaction of Pecco was really good. You know, he is a professional rider, he is a champion, and you know, he knows that we would like to have the best possibilities to fight for the champion, and so, you know, yes, in the past he would like to have a teammate, but because, you know, of the relationship between them, but at the end he is a professional rider, so he accept our decision and don't push us in any direction. For sure, this is probably the best ever team of Ducati, and you know, we simply would like to continue to win the championship. You know, this is our target. This is what the Ducati asked us, and we simply have to try to do that.
Yeah, man, just a quick story, though. Hey, cricket, if you've been following that, USA captain Monik Patel says that it's a big day for USA cricket as United States scored a major upset at the T20 World Cup by beating heavyweights Pakistan in the Super Over yesterday. It was the co-host's second straight victory in a Group A after it romped to 7 wickets win over Canada. What a victory.
Yeah, I mean, happy with the win, you know, playing against Pakistan for the first time in the World Cup and beating them. It was an unbelievable performance from our side. I mean, yeah, the plan was to, you know, win the toss and bowl first. And we knew initially first half an hour it would help pace bowler, and the way we kept them quiet and took the crucial wickets in the power play, it helped up really well. And yeah, 160 on this wicket with one boundary, one side short boundary, I felt we were always in the game. We are not worried about what people are saying. We know what we have worked and what capability we have, and we just focus on the particular game, and we don't want to keep our emotion too high or low. We'll make sure that we, whatever the win today is, we'll enjoy it and make sure that we next day we come fresh. So you are beating Pakistan, you know, it's a big achievement, and in the World Cup itself, it's a big achievement. So yeah, I would say it's a big day for Team USA, and I would say not just for USA, for USA cricket community too.
Yeah, it looked like Pakistan panicked a little bit, though, in the Super Over when the much-experienced fast bowler Mohammad Amir gave away 18 runs that included 7 runs off the white balls.
To be honest, feeling not good. If you lose a match, always you are the upset. I think we are not playing well in both sides, fielding, bowling and batting. For 6 overs, I think we are not capitalized properly, but later on, after 10 hours, we are get momentum, but again we are too much lose wickets, and then your momentum is gone. So yeah, I think as a batsman unit, we need to step up in the middle overs and middle in the end. So yeah, I am upset. We are not playing good in all three department. We are better than that in the bowling. We are not in first 6 overs, you know, taking wickets. In the middle overs, your spinner is not taking wickets, then pressure on us. And after 10 overs, come back. But I think the way they finish game on the super overs and in the super overs, I think credit to US.
Yeah, credit to the USA team, man. Credit to the USA team. We'll talk about that as well a little bit after the news.
Hashtag MSW. You may begin to feel anxious or excited. Honest, deliberate, engaging, uncensored. High dosage administration can cause adverse reactions. And most importantly, independent in mind and execution. This is a normal response. Are you ready? Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Ngosi Khona, Hlakwana, marathon runner, gold medalist.
Kamathandubisi, ilangqhamuka khona.
Hey, my daughter. Naya ngiyazithanda. Ngithanda uphuthu.
Ngithanda ubisi mina na mas.
So mas no uphuthu makuhlangene. Best combination.
As you can hear now, it's a full conversation between Mr. Robes and Ngosi Khona. Thanks.
You come into this race, though, as a favorite. You know that, right?
Definitely, I know.
Not even talking about top 10 to win it. What is it doing to you right now?
They just love me, and they love the way I am. So they're always going to wish me to do more. Good or what does it take to run a complete marathon from Durban to Pietermaritzburg? People in South Africa will be seeing a different person.
Talking about going, hey, Golden Arrows, their mentor, Steve Kampela, he also, I mean, they telling me he's going to Asia, a club, Negaming at Amasimba Chips.
Umsebenzi wabo coach, whatever contract you sign, it's about 90 minutes. Performance and results and results. Sometimes you do get results and then they say what I see a winner, got us win a crew. That's also another risk. About you to buy a winner, got a one win or anja.
Oh, we questioned where does this man come from? I didn't even know whether this man
He's a politician. I only saw him when he went to receive Mandela with an umbrella carrying. I didn't know whether he's a bodyguard or what. We didn't know that man.
Robert Marawa, live on 947. Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Sowetan Live. Hashtag MSW.
Oh man, we can all gather around. It is a Friday today, which means it is a Friday Legends on 947 Rise FM, Vuma FM, and Sowetan Live with myself, Robert Marawa. Brought to you by APSA and Visa, worldwide partner of the Olympics as well as the Paralympic Games. Well, good evening and welcome to it. Have you recovered? I think if you're a cricket fan, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. I think last night, everybody, and it's literally reverberated around the world. It was one of those that were trending for the longest of times. And the USA, I mean, their captain, hey, Monark Patel, saying that it was a big day, as it should, for USA cricket. United States scoring a major, major upset at the T20 World Cup, beating the heavyweights Pakistan in that super over yesterday. They talk about them panicking somewhat. Co-host second straight victory in Group A after it romped to 7-wicket victory over Canada. But man, oh man, it's a case of where were you? And still, hey, can we believe it? Of course we have to.
I mean, happy with the win, you know, playing against Pakistan for the first time in the World Cup and beating them. It was an unbelievable performance from our side. I mean, yeah, the plan was to, you know, win the toss and bowl first. And we knew initially first half an hour, it will help pace bowler, and the way we kept them quiet and took the crucial wickets in the power play, it helped up really well. And 160 in the, on this wicket with one boundary, one side short boundary, I felt we were always in the game. We are not worried about what people are saying. We know what we have worked and what capability we have, and we just focus on the particular game, and we don't want to keep our emotion too high or low. We'll make sure that we, whatever the win today is, we'll enjoy it and make sure that we next day we come fresh. So you are beating Pakistan, you know, it's a big achievement, and in the World Cup itself, it's a big achievement. So yeah, I would say it's a big day for Team USA, and I would say not just for USA, for USA cricket community too.
Friday nights, always. This is how we do it. About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Also, another big night for Bafana Bafana as well. I can safely tell you that at about 9 o'clock this evening, they're going to be playing Nigeria. It's a World Cup qualifier. A very, very important game. A crucial game for Hugo Broos and his men. We'll give you the latest updates coming through there from Nigeria. But tonight, I'm more than excited, you know. This man is on Instagram. I can tell you that he's gone live. I don't know how many people are watching us right now, though, but Bryce Moon, that's the name. Go to Instagram. He is taking this live, and I'm looking forward to a conversation. I haven't seen him, as I said, in the longest of times. But, you know, there was no way, and I mean absolutely no way, that you would have been over the moon whenever this man played. Hey, you know, I was always going to go that way. Couldn't help it. Because he was just that phenomenal, both on and off the field. I mean, a great human being, but also just on the field of play, a brilliant footballer. I mean, he was dubbed Scooter in recognition of his blazing pace on the pitch. Made his first appearance in a national squad win. He captained South Africa's under-14 team, and he was then only, what, 13 years old? 13 years old. Whew. I mean, equally effective at right back, equally effective on the wing, and his career blossoming. He went on to join as well the SA under-23 side before becoming a full-on international player. Well, he's thrilled us so many times, and he's also played for so many of these clubs as well, locally as well as abroad. And what a pleasure to have him on the Legends seat tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Bryce Moon in the house. Bryce, good to see you, man. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, you too, Rob. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been more than a while. Hey, what's been keeping you busy and active?
Lots.
work, my businesses I'm running now, and property portfolios and stuff like that. And also a bit of community work. And yeah, quite a bit happening at the moment and still lots more coming.
Oh.
So yeah, I won't speak too much about it, but I'll give the people a little taste of what's
to Are you about to buy this football team? Are you about to buy? Bryce Moon, you don't walk into the studio and tease us and dangle a little bit of a carrot here. I can see there's like a glow in you today. Hey, are you going to buy this football team finally?
I'm hoping, Rob.
You know who was seated there yesterday?
Who?
Farouk Kadodia.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the man who you offered 10 million rand the last time round to say, I want to buy this team, Maritzburg United. They were relegated. They said no. And I thought, okay, it's going to be a big margin that they wanted. Meantime, it was just a case of 10 million versus what they claimed they wanted, which is 12 million rand. Am I correct in putting it down that
you
then?
You are correct.
Yeah.
Last year, those were the discussions, Rob. And they left it for too late till the end of the season. It was like a few weeks before, and it was not wise for me to take over 2 weeks before the season, especially in the first division. So I left it for a year, and they also tried to get back into the PSL. I'm not sure what they're going to do now. We've been chatting back and forth, so I'm just waiting for an answer from them. But unfortunately, like I said to them before, is that if you don't get promotion immediately, your value is like just every other team in the league. So that's the unfortunate part. So we'll be back and forth for the past 2 weeks, and hopefully in the next week or so, next 2 weeks maximum, I should know.
Sure. Guys, this is breaking news. In the next 2 weeks or so, he should know whether Bryce Moon will be the man who will be in charge of Maritzburg United, having bought the status. Now, let's put things very clear. And I like the pace at which you've come in right now. Again, I take you back to when these conversations happened, is that they said no to your offer. And then two games or so down the line, they came back to you. It was almost like cap in hand, saying that, you know what, we want you and I to talk again. And by that stage, you felt you were being used. And you didn't want anything to do with the talks.
Well, not really. It wasn't the case. Our discussions were prior to the season starting. And they didn't come back cap in hand and stuff like that. We did have our discussions. But it was left for a bit too late, where a few other negotiations came into play. And where we were actually like negotiating now on the amount that they said and the amount I was offering, and then it was about the name without the club and quite a few other things. But at the end of the day, I made a decision that I'll have to just wait another year and see how it plays out. And we're back in those discussions now, and we'll see in the next 2 weeks what happens.
I mean, what's at stake now? What would make the deal happen?
Them accepting my offer.
Is it still sitting at 10 million?
Well, I don't want to confirm any figures at the moment, but I did make them another offer, and hopefully they'll accept. And there's a few other negotiations going on, which I don't want to discuss too much about, but I'll definitely update the public, and everybody will know if I am or if I'm not.
They wanted, again, I go back to the previous negotiations, because I had to study very hard. This was like an exam for me, because you did not want to be so-called in partnership with them, because that's what they wanted. You wanted to buy the entity. It becomes yours. You own it. You bring a guy like Mushin Etrigal to come and head up the technical department. I'll talk about the other big name as well. And then the coach went to coach, was coaching at Porto. So I know about all of those things that were happening at the time. But the main thrust of my direction now is to say, is it still similar conditions of you not wanting a partnership with the current administration? You want to buy, take over, do your own thing independently.
That is what I wanted, Rob, and that option is still open. Becoming a partner, it's still open. It's on the table. That's like why I say, like, in the next few weeks we'll know what's going on. But I want to own the team myself. My dad and my uncle owned this team many years ago, so it means a lot to me. It's not just It's not just about owning a soccer club. Maritzburg United means a lot to me. It's personal. So, yeah, let's hope and see what happens. But, yeah, we are definitely still speaking about getting the team to be mine.
I mean, we'll talk about family, though. I don't want to run away too much from the story because I think it is an important one for the country. It's an important one for people who are sitting, listening, absorbing it as, you know, almost as a breaking news story, is that there's a lot that is family with you. You know, the business of interior decoration, you know, BDM is a family run business. I think it's been in existence since 1983. And you've carried on with that as a legacy. But you talk about the foundation of Maritzburg United, and that for me fascinates me because, yeah, Farouk Kadodia was sitting yesterday and he was saying the way the municipality almost chucked them out of the Herikwala Stadium is something that he says was the biggest travesty of justice that he's ever seen. So let's say you get the team, then where would you play, for example? Because Herikwala was the place for Maritzburg.
If I get the team, I'm saying I would love, hopefully I can get the league and they can pass the old Nortel Stadium where Maritzburg United began and where, you know, football in the community began, you know, because I think if I get my community behind me, I've won at least 30% of the battle within the league. So I would like to take the games back to Nortel Stadium. Obviously, anybody wants to play their home games where their supporters are. Mm-hmm. And that's where I would like to take the game back, the game back to that stadium.
All right, just a quick one, though, because the games of football are such that the community has to support you. So you would be against the move of the team away from Pietermaritzburg.
Yeah, definitely. I would not even think twice about moving the team from Pietermaritzburg. Nortel Stadium it will be. Should I? And I think the municipality were interested in revamping Nortel Stadium for Maritzburg United, but they didn't want it. I'm not sure what their reasoning was for not wanting to play their games there. But yeah, that stadium also has a lot of sentiments. I started my career playing in that stadium. When I played for Maritzburg United at 17, that's where I started. I played my home games. And everybody knows that stadium used to rock, eh? It used to rock.
And rock it deserves to be. Hey, is Mushin Etrigal still available to assist you?
Definitely. I have spoken to him and he was really excited. And he said if there's any assistance I need from him, he'll gladly assist me.
Sergio Paulo?
Well, like I said, I don't want to speak too much, but yeah. I do have a lot of friends and contacts that I made when I was overseas. I really have something big for Maritzburg if I do take over. Probably a link with one of the international teams.
In Greece?
I won't say where, but yeah. It's still early days, so I will reveal all that. But yeah, definitely there was some international backing and communication and stuff like that. So,
is that a similar sort of concept to what we saw where you were at the academy of Ajax Cape Town back then?
Something similar. Yeah. Not as much investment as them. It was like 51 and 50. Yeah, a lot of friends overseas. I was being backed with a lot of players as well, coming in if I needed, and a few sponsorships as well.
Because that's what I was going to ask you, though, because it's one thing, and some people say, oh, okay, where is he going to get the funding from? I mean, you've had a glittering career overseas, right? And we shouldn't look past that. But football needs a lot of cash. It needs money.
It does.
So if you had, let's talk about what you had placed on the public domain in terms of the offer. If they had accepted the 10 million rand, would you have been in a position to pay it immediately?
Yeah.
I couldn't
make an offer if I can't pay it immediately. Yeah. And it's not something to play about, you know. So it was a serious offer, and they know as well. And the main thing I would have been dependent on is the sponsorships going forward. you know, technical sponsor and stuff like that. But that also was in place. So in the next few weeks as well, that also is going to be negotiated and also kept in place.
It would be a Maritzburg United still in the first division. Obviously, being a relegated team, that's where you would have to start off with them.
That's where I would have to start off with them in the first division, yeah.
It sounded yesterday like Farouk is very hungry to buy a status of another team.
Well, that was one of the reasons I think maybe they weren't budging on my... They wanted that to go and buy another team.
Yeah.
And probably one of the reasons why they wanted to try and retain the name of the team, excluding from the franchise. So, yeah. We'll see what happens, but yeah, Maritzburg it is, and both Maritzburg United and the franchise, if that's what I can get, that's what I want.
Jeez, what a blistering start to the show, eh? It was supposed to be, you know, praising the life of a legend. Here we are talking about a potential big money move of Maritzburg United, and if my memory serves me well, correct me if I'm wrong here as we head to the break, there is no, you know, former football player that owns a top franchise in football.
I want to be that David Beckham of South Africa.
Oh, you come heard on, it. Man. You come heard on. It.
Give me a chance.
Hey, and we hopefully will see the day when Bryce Moon gets given a chance to head up Maritzburg United as a sole owner of the team. Give us your thoughts about that. Fascinating.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
And let's hear now from the Maritzburg United chairman Farouk Kadodia. There's a club, though, in the Premiership, which as early as yesterday was quoted to selling their status. I don't know what the current situation is, but my information was that they would be selling the team for around 25 million rand. I mean, would that be a realistic amount of money to buy a Premiership status?
I think that I will be open to that conversation.
Outside of Swallows, Richards Bay, there's been a conversation about you potentially taking over. How do you respond to that?
Last season, I made inquiries and the prices was way above the market, and I walked away.
Well, how much were they offering?
They were looking at 55 million.
And you said absolutely not.
I was agreed to just throw money away like that. Your money where your
mouth is. Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW. Friday nights, always. This is how we do it. About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
26 minutes after the hour, it is hashtag MSW Marawa Sports Worldwide. It's a Friday today. Looking forward to a great weekend. Also tonight, Bafana Bafana get to play against Nigeria. It's a World Cup qualifier. And wishing the guys everything of the best. And I'm sure Bryce Moon would know everything about World Cup qualifiers. But just looking at social media right now, I think what we were chatting about before the break, a lot of people commenting about that. Swandile Mtana says that Maritzburg United brand is languishing into the mud and needs a messiah, and needs Messiah Moon to reprieve the club from its boss Kadodia, who runs out of ideas of how to maintain the club to reach his previous heights. Says Moon, sentimental with Maritzburg United goes beyond the field of play. What are your thoughts? Give us a call. Please share your sentiments. Send us your WhatsApp voice notes. Like we said, we're paying homage. We are doffing our hats, making this man smell his flowers while he's still alive, eh? Because we've got to celebrate such a wonderful career that when I look back and I say, you know, Bryce Moon went and represented not only Bafana Bafana, but represented us, playing in a country like Greece, who, when on the face of it, are football mad, the guys over there. I mean, you went to Panathinaikos.
Yeah.
And had the most outstanding of careers, played UEFA Champions League, played Europa League, etc., etc., etc. I don't even know how you summarize your stay in a country like Greece and playing for a big team like that.
It was amazing, Rob. I got no words, you know. I always battle to try and explain to people. And that's all what I always say to them is like, I wish I could explain to you what it feels like to be there. And that's what I keep telling the youngsters. So much has changed with football now and the youngsters of today. It's something that, it's something really special. It's something that I don't know, even I can't. I always battle to find the words to explain how amazing it is. You walk in the streets, everybody's crazy about you. You go for dinner, you don't pay for dinner. You go everywhere, people just want you around. And yeah. You go onto the soccer field, Rob, and there's 95,000 people shouting for you. There's nothing more you need. You just want to play and do your best for them. And it's a dream. And I hope a lot of our youngsters can, you know, start to get that dream back, you know, because I don't hear them talking about it these days. And
Do you reckon the passion for the game somewhat in that intensity has disappeared in our country?
It's definitely, Rob. It's bad. It's gone really bad. And I hope that SAFA and PSL can, you know, that's what my foundation's going to be doing soon in the next couple of years to come, is, you know, going out to schools and going out to institutions, speaking to them, educating these people, and also, you know, giving back, donating back a lot of what I can, just to, a lot of it will go on to the education. I will be giving a lot of bursaries and a lot of this. My plan is to give 50% of my company's profits back to the community, back to investing in youngsters. So, yeah, that's my plan for each year. 50% of what I make, my profits, go back to the community and back to getting people to realize that this dream is possible, Rob. It's sad. Nobody these days, when I was playing, everybody wanted to play in Europe. Nowadays, everybody's happy to play for Pirates, Chiefs and Sundowns. And it's really sad, you know, because it didn't only take away the passion. It took away the belief from that youngster. Because he doesn't believe anymore that he can go and play in these leagues. And administration has really failed us, you know. SAFA has really failed us. When we were younger, we had USASA for schools. We had Simba under 12. We had Transnet under 14, Coca-Cola under 17. We had Sports School of Excellence where I was. Yeah. Where's all that gone? We need answers, Rob.
And Transnet were the big sponsors of that Transnet School of Excellence.
Yes,
you
indeed.
You know, the and Stephen Pinaros of this world were heavily involved there. Dane Clates of this world. So many players. You could rattle
half of
them.
The PSL, actually, back then, came from the School of Excellence. And it's sad to see that there's nothing now. I mean, in my community, wherever I go, there's kids that are so hungry, but just are so despondent. And it's so sad to see. But
why do you think you don't get listened to? I mean, I've also had conversations. Michael Jackson himself, Calvin Peterson, I mean, he makes a journey from that part of the world and he comes down, he has a conversation with us, and he's somebody that I grew up watching as an elder person and me as a fan of Calvin Peterson, and then watching his efforts almost go unnoticed or unappreciated. I see the same of Darren Buckley. You go and you play in the Bundesliga, you have all of these achievements and you come back again, similar community you're talking about, but not being heard. People are almost saying, what are they talking about? You know? Where does that come from, do you think?
Rob, I think, like I say, firstly, people are scared to talk. Yeah. You know, even back in the day, even now, football players, you can't speak. You speak, you get into trouble, you get sidelined, you get that. Administrators today, they want to be safe. They want to keep their jobs. They don't want to. The truth needs to be told, Rob, and we need to save the football, and not only the football, the sport in our country. If it continues like this, it's just going to go down and down and down. So we really need to wake up, especially the administrators, and let's try and revive. Let's bring that passion back. Let's get the people back to the stadiums. I mean, even now, people make excuses that, oh, the game's on TV, I don't need to go to the stadium. In our days, Rob, Ellis Park used to be packed. 95,000 people used to come and watch the game, whether they could watch it on TV or not. So now it's just excuses that, hey, I prefer to sit at home and watch the game, because that passion, that hunger for football and for sports in our country is just dying down, and we really need to save it.
Talk about saving it. People like Lucas Khadebe have been shut down in terms of their attempts to head up SAFA. Is that something you would do if a Bryce Moon puts up his hand? Would you go for the presidency of SAFA?
Definitely. I'd love that.
Yeah.
And bring back SAFA to what it used to be. I mean, we had under 12 South African national team, under 14 national team. I was the captain of under 12 national team, captain of under 14 national team. And now I think Bafana is the only team that gets called up. Under 17s get called up only for games. Important games that they have
under
to.
Under 23s?
Yes, they have to. Under 23s, I played under 23. And it's we need to get it back, Rob. It's really bad.
But why do people like Danny Jordan stay in those positions and many others that stay in those positions defend their positions within the structures and yet people say they don't see any change?
I don't know how they can even defend it. What are they actually saying? I haven't really heard Danny Jordan say anything. But if we can just answer us one question, what changed from then to now? We had all this. We don't have nothing now. Just explain that and then we can take it from there if he can defend himself or anybody else. And Danny Jordan was involved in our time.
Yes.
He was there. He did a magnificent job. But what happened? We need answers, Rob.
Because the consistency has got to be there. I mean, we can't just be a flash in the pan. You talk about so many greats that played alongside you, played with you, played against you, Bryce Moon. And you know, a couple of the guys as well, hearing that, hey, you're going to be on the show, they were more than happy to come on and send their tributes. But firstly, though, let me take a caller, Hulu Falang, who's got a question for you, calling us right here on WhatsApp. No, is he on WhatsApp today? No, he's on the line. Good evening, Hulu Falang.
Good evening to you, Mr. Rob. Good evening to the MW Shoulders. And good evening to Scooter there.
Good evening. Good evening, my brother.
First of all, my brother, I just got wind. I was 3 years old and I discovered that you are, you know, hunting to buy the status of Maritzburg United. And I congratulate you for that because it's so rare to hear former players being club owners because some of them wouldn't want anything to do with football. Or some would prefer to be analysts or coaches. But for you to be a club owner one day is something that I really, really want to commend you for. And congratulations on that one. But I want to ask you this. Now that you have mentioned that, okay, you are paying attention to the local game, can you mention any of your top three current South African footballers that you think in your books, in Bryce Moon's books, that are doing so, so, so well in the local game right now? Any three players. That's what I want to find out from you.
Olufelang, thank you so much. Yeah, you can answer that.
That's a tight one, eh? Yeah. But, I can't even out the players that are doing well now. A lot of them are older and coming towards their end. The Timber Zwanes and stuff like that. Your Lebogang Maboas, those guys. But my number one will definitely be Ryan Moon. Hmm. He'll definitely be my number one.
Yes,
of the best upcoming players. Mm-hmm. And Lebogang Maboe. Who else is there?
Well, now we got Mofokeng at Pirates. He's buzzing as well.
I mean,
he's such a prospect. He's such a great footballer. I mean, others are almost seen as late bloomers in a way. But I think just from a youngster perspective and consistency, you know, Mofokeng is right up there at the top of the pile. All right. He is live, though, at Bryce Moon. So Bryce_Moon on Instagram. He's our main source of being live right now because we are off the YouTube channel in terms of the audio and the visual, but you can get the audio stream as well still on the YouTube channel. Listen to this gentleman, you know, you'll know exactly who he is.
Bryce, first of all, congrats on the fantastic football career that you've had. And more importantly, the transition that you've made into business, into the business world. We want to see more ex-players achieving that. Even back then, you were a fullback that played the modern way. Loved to get forward, very technical with a great cross on you. And it was no surprise, considering that you hailed from the School of Excellence and Ajax Cape Town, School of Thought. Congrats again on flying the flag, not only here locally, but also overseas. One of the few players that was sought after by the giants of Greek football. And just want to wish you all the best in the future. Keep the flag flying.
Oh, Matthew Booth. Matthew Booth. Thanks so much, Matthew.
Thanks a lot, Matthew, for that. Really appreciated. Matthew was obviously, you all know, one of the players that we looked up to when they were playing. We were still young and we were watching them, aspiring to be where they were. And like I say, I always say to the youngsters, Rob, I've got pictures when Matthew Booth, Benny McCarthy, Dalron Buckley, were all Mark Fish, Neil Tovey. They were playing for Bafana, and I'm there trying to take a picture with them.
Oh, wow.
And eventually you end up playing with them. You end up being teammates with them, Rob. So this is, it's possible for these youngsters, you know.
That is crazy.
They just need to. I've got tons of pictures.
Yeah.
Almost three quarter of the Bafana team that I first was a little boy in junior, taking photos with them, asking them for shin pads, asking them for socks. And eventually had the opportunity to be their teammates, roommates, friends. It's.
I mean, you look at the story of Ronaldo. Guess who's now making their way to Real Madrid, who had posters of him all over his wall. The most expensive Frenchman, the most expensive footballer right now who's making his way there. And when you look at journeys like that, and there's so many more who started as ball boys at certain clubs that end up playing for those clubs as well. So it just shows, you know, guys, never ever stop dreaming.
Bras was an incredible talent. People don't understand how well he did when he went to Europe, particularly in his time at Panathinaikos. At that point, Panathinaikos were one of the giants of European football. And I'll never forget, they were playing against Inter Milan, and they had to switch Suleiman Tahiri from the one side across to the other side to deal with Brass's pace. Great character, wonderful footballing talent from a really wonderful family. And I can only say it was an incredible privilege to spend so many years working with Bryce, particularly in our time in Europe.
Mike McCabe. Oh, what more can you say? I think he appreciated more than most. Eh?
Yeah, no. Thanks a lot, Mike, for that. Everybody knows Mike was my manager back in the day. And yeah, he did a really good job for me. And I just want to thank him for that and thank him for those kind words.
Thank you so much, Mike McCabe. Always appreciate you, man. Also here in the Kingdom, we are broadcasting live from our Durban studios. And one thing I can tell you is that as much as the traffic was trying to mess with the show, trying to mess with Bryce getting here to the studio, this man fought his way through, you know. South African, you know, way of driving. You make your way. You make your way. You find your way. And I'm so glad that he's been able to make it into the studio. We'll come back. Lots of tributes. Lots of your calls that are coming through. And as I said, that you can catch the man still looking very, very young. I don't even know why he retired. Who gave him permission to retire? But he is live on his Instagram page right now. So that is at Bryce_Moon.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
So a Comrades Marathon novice, he was back then, Mhlakwana, lost out on the gold medal, lost out on that prize money in the top 10 position. And I suppose that collapse coming as it did. And his aims now to return to the scene of the crime this weekend. Hey, he's a brave man, this one. Nkosikona Mhlakwana is here. You're not giving up.
This is a moment that when I was training, I wanted to go back to outdo and better myself. Because that moment, I know, when it was happening in 2019, it brought tears to the men of the people that they were there in reality, seeing me falling down, crawling up until I crossed the finish line. Here I am today, and I'm having a second chance of my life, and I think as a person, we all deserve the second chance. So,
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW. Friday nights, always.
This is how we do it.
About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Hey, Bryce Moon. This is your first chairman, John Comitas, from your Ajax debut when you came to us as a teenager. From day one, you applied yourself absolutely professionally. You've been an example and a role model to many South African footballers. You've acquitted yourself in the most professional way throughout your career. You left us as a young boy, joining one of the mega clubs in Europe, Panathinaikos. And you can see from the transfer that we received at that time, the value they placed on you, and you carried on growing from then. I want to tell you that players like you are what clubs can build on, and I'm disappointed somewhat that I didn't see you more often in the national team, because you certainly deserved that. But you've had a sterling career, and we're really proud of you and really proud to have been part of your development. Well done, my boy. Congratulations.
Oh, John Kometas, man. Kometas. Hey, what a proud man. He's very proud of you as well.
Yeah, man. Hey, this is really softening, hey, Rob.
No, but it's deserved, Bryce. I think we don't celebrate you as much as we should.
Yeah.
What do you say, though, to John? I mean, he spoke from the heart there.
Yeah, I can just hear it. And that's why I'm getting a bit emotional. You know, I left home at 12 years old, Rob, to pursue my career to the School of Excellence. And then at 13, I went to Ajax Cape Town Academy, where John and him obviously gave me that opportunity. And I can tell you that at Ajax Cape Town, that's exactly where I was groomed to be the man and the player I am. What we did there, they took us to school, Rob. From school, they'd pick us up. We all lived in a guest house, myself, Steven Pinar, all of us. We'll go to training. We had to do our homework after school. They've had a tutor there to watch us do our homework. From there, we go to training. From there, we eat. Like the foundation, that's where my foundation phase. And that's so important in football right now. And that's why our football is also lacking, because you get to the PSL and you find a player. He's playing in the PSL and he doesn't know when and where to pass the ball, when's the right time to move, where to move. Those are the basics that you need to learn at foundation level, you know. But thank you so much, John, for having the faith in me as a youngster and investing in me. He made tenfold millions out of me when I left, but he initially was the one that took the investment, you know.
Yeah.
And like he says in his thing, well, he got good money when I left, so I'm happy that I could give back. And
do you know
and,
how
and
much it was him. Though when you left?
I'm not sure. I think it was within the region of 12 and 15 million at the time.
Right? 12 and 15 rand. 15 million rand, yeah. At the time.
That's 15 years sure. ago, 20 years ago almost. So it's a lot of money.
But you were worth it, though. I mean, that's why I'm not sure who was talking about it early on. I think it was Mike McCarr when he talked about, you know, Panathinaikos playing against Inter Milan, and he spoke about the positional switch, and you were playing against some of the greats, you know, guys like Gibril Cisse was there. Mm. I remember there's a press conference where Jose Mourinho spoke about you. Mm. I think it was the second leg of the game as well, where he said, you know, I've got to watch that guy, Bryce Moon. And that would have been, you know, heartwarming for you.
That's extremely humbling, you know, Rob. And that was one of my best games in Europe for Panathinaikos. And obviously, after that, West Ham were interested. And
yeah, Gianfranco Rosola wanted you.
Yeah. So, obviously, Panathinaikos didn't want me to go at the time. They said, Bryce, you're playing Champions League every year. You just got here. I said, like, it's my dream. I want to go to England. And they like, you can still go to England. Play a few more years, yeah, and you can still go to England. So I also thought it was a bit selfish of me just to want to use them for the 8 months and then leave. So I respected my contract and I enjoyed my time there, and it was really, really amazing.
Was you a man of the match, weren't you?
Yeah, I was man of the against match Inter. Game. I hit the crossbar 2 or 3 times. I made a few players sleep on the ground. It was a really good game.
How was Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Oh, Zlatan. I always say he's also one of the most difficult players to mark, because he's so tall and his elbows are always in your face. So, yeah, it was good to play against these players, you know. And again, it goes back to these youngsters to say, when I tell certain people that I played against Ronaldo, I played against Aguero, I played against Luis Figo and these players.
Gilberto Silva.
Yeah. They say you're lying. They can't believe that it's even possible that just a nobody from Woodlands, Peter Maritzburg, can go and play Champions League.
Oh, man. Bryce Moon.
Wow, this is amazing. I so wish he's able to buy the club. He's one player I look up to when I was still growing up. This really shows if you're a player and you do your craft well, you're able to keep your money even after retiring from football. You're able to venture into business and do well for yourself. So I so wish him luck. I know he's going to do wonders for the Maritzburg and KZN at large.
Yeah, man. More tributes coming through. Thank you so much for that. Just saying that he wishes that you could buy the club. Let's take more tributes.
Hey Marawa, Mkumbuka Khumalo lo. I mean, what a player. Bryce Moon was a polished right back, a fine attacking right-handed midfielder. This was just a gentleman of football. I don't have much to say about him, but I do remember on this show, Marawa, just to show how ambitious this guy was. And I think he deserved that when Man United lost Gary Neville at the time, he availed himself and he said, "This is where I think I should go." And for that, I really applaud you, Bryce. You were a gentleman of, you know, in football. And I'm not surprised that your young brother also just followed in your steps. You were something that we never had in this country. And I hope that you continue investing again in football like you wanna do with Maritzburg United. Otherwise, a great player. Great player.
Sure. You know what? I'm going to let him pause for a minute and just absorb all of this because people are just showering, pouring so much love, and let's let it continue.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa, and good evening to your guest, Bryce Moon, Ukuluma Nesibongile Nomkhwana. Quite a great legend you had there. I think Bryce was the most exciting right back during his playing time with DSTV Premiership. And there were rumors that he was willing to purchase Maritzburg United status. So what was the stumbling block to make the deal happen? Or they were not on the same page in terms of figures, or it was something else? Thank you, Mr. Marawa. Good show. I wish him all the best in the future.
Yes, Mwaleni, thank you so much indeed. Again, I say, let him absorb. You know, you, the listeners, the shareholders of the show, are saying, "Hey, Bryce, you know what? We appreciate you. We love you."
Good evening, Darop. Good evening, Snege. It's KGD Khatri here. I hope you're good. I hope the business is doing well. I know when last we spoke, it was a while ago. And yeah, I trust everything is going well for you. You've always been a humble guy, always down to earth. Even when we were to meet for camp, Star Kobafana, you know, for someone like you who played in the UEFA big stages while you were at Panathinaikos, you would always come humble to us. Very hardworking, one of the best modern day fullbacks or the wingbacks. And, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, sharing the grass with you, the dressing rooms. It was always fun to have you around. And, you know, I hope we'll catch up soon. And, yeah, I trust and pray that everything goes well for you. Sharp, my friend. Take care.
Hey, KG Dikachu.
Thank you so much, my man. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, everybody, for those lovely words. And it's really very, very humbling. And, yeah, thank you for your support back in the day. And thank you for your support now. Mm. I love you guys lots.
I mean, what do you ever regret about the journey, where you've been, what you've done, what you've achieved? I mean, do you harbor any regrets?
Rob, I always tell this to a lot of people, you know, I don't have one single regret.
Yeah.
You know, my life was laid out by God, and everything I did, everything that happened was me just doing what God's plan was for my life, you know. And a lot of people also used to say, "Hey, but why did he, like some people play 10 years for Kaizer Chiefs,
yeah,
5 years for Sundowns, you know, why did he always play 2 years here, then you go to another team?" But that was God's plan for my life. And every team I went to, I made a difference. We achieved something. Whether I went to SuperSport, I won the Nedbank Cup, I went to Sundowns, I won the league. I went to Wits. We were the highest ever in the league that year. So every team I went to, you know, sometimes I even questioned, like, why do I have to leave here to go there? And, you know, God just gave me the peace. Even when I retired, I didn't need to retire. I didn't, lucky enough, you know, I was in a position to retire. But, yeah, God just told me it's my time. And because I was like, because of all the politics coming into sport, you know, I was getting a bit despondent and not wanting to, you know, I was starting to dislike the game. So I said, you know what, I've had the greatest time in my life, and God obviously had better plans for me. And now the giving back and the inspiring other youngsters and doing whatever I can just to get a youngster and change their life and just let them realize that that dream is not a far-fetched. You can achieve it.
Bafana Bafana highlight for you would have been what?
Oh, firstly, playing for Bafana Bafana was the highlight. AFCON, I definitely say AFCON was playing in the African Cup because that was also where I was seen by Panathinaikos playing in the African Nations Cup, and yeah, I think that was one of the highlights, Confederations Cup. So yeah, it was just and another highlight was just playing with all my heroes that were my heroes before, and now eventually getting the opportunity to play with them. You know, it's just an amazing feeling, and it's so rewarding. And yeah, like I say, youngsters, this is a lifestyle, and it can give you a very good life. So just keep pushing and work towards your dream.
And I was saying to someone just on a flight down here that it's so crazy how, especially in a province like KZN that has produced so many great footballers through the years, and I repeat this message over and over again, and I'm glad you saying it as somebody who's played the game, and I say people don't realize that sport, and especially football, is a way out of poverty. It is if given the support it deserves. And it is such a pity that there's so much politics that then runs around football and sport that they deny a kid an opportunity to become a Ronaldinho, to become a Neymar, to become a Bryce Moon, to become anybody. Lucas Radebe, for example, the late Masinga, the late John Shoes Mashiru, anybody that has stepped onto the aeroplane at the OR Tambo International Airport to go and play in Turkey, to go play in England, to play in Russia, to play anywhere around the world, they deny them that opportunity. And I'm just saying to you, because I hope next time I chat to you is when you've signed, sealed, and delivered that deal.
Let's hope so. I'm walking around with my pen all over, Rob. So my
pen is always on me. I can see it. I can see that. I can see that. And yeah. I'm just hoping that you achieve that goal and that dream of yours, because I certainly believe that you can make a big difference and a big change, not only to football in the country, but the area of Pietermaritzburg, the community that we had seen on a Friday make and come to Harry Gwala Stadium like their lives depended on it. It became a lifestyle and a culture.
100%, Rob. And like you say, it can give you a really good life. And but you need to make it a lifestyle. You need to make it a culture. It can take a lot of people out of poverty, like you say, definitely. And the good thing is that besides taking you out of poverty, you can take a whole community and a whole family and everybody else out of poverty too. I mean, you listen to the figures that are going around, players are earning now, and, you know. But I always say, when I played football, it was never about the money. We started off earning 2,500, 5,000 rand a month, you know. And then eventually you're earning millions. But like I say, it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And people need to be a lot more serious about it. And I just want to tell the youngsters and the people out there that politics is here now. We can't mope about it. We can't complain about it. Say, I didn't do this because of this. It's time now we need to challenge the politics, and that's one of the obstacles in front of you. When I was there, maybe an obstacle was a player that was better than me or somebody else, or I had to fight it. So let's not get this thing of we're going to blame it all on politics and people getting involved in football. You know what I'm saying? We need to. You have to change it yourself. If you want a dream, you got to work for it, and you've got to change it yourself. You have to fight. You got to fight.
Nobody owns football, but people can own the destiny within football. Bryce Moon, what an honor, man. What an honor. Man that's played for Maritzburg United, Cape Town City, Platinum Stars, Mamelodi Sundowns, Bidvest, Supersport United, Amanville Golden Arrows, POK. He's played for Panathinaikos, has played, of course, for South Africa. The youth teams, as you said, represented them with aplomb. And all I can say is, sure, what a journey. We are proud of you. Thank you so much, Bryce Moon. Thanks for bracing us with your presence.
Thanks so much, Rob, for having me.
Thank you, and all good luck to Bafana Bafana tonight, man. Good luck.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.